This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. When your personal care routine needs a refresh, Dr. Squatch is here to help. They have high-performing natural products with no harmful ingredients that'll have you looking and smelling your best. Like the Bay Rum soap and deodorant. It smells delightfully spicy. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/Spotify or use the code Spotify at checkout.
Run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Delirious. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, offered by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, Drew Croson, coming to you well-rested. Not because daylight savings time is a joke once you have children. At Santa Crow 2 on Twitter, at Santa Crow on Venmo, a.k.a. the complaint department. To one side of me is the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S is for 6 touchdowns on Sunday? Did we score 6?
Schwartz catching a deep ball.
Did we score 6 times?
7 times.
7 times. Now we're talking.
We just missed the extra point.
I wasn't a math major. To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, the kind you pay a lot for, doing it to your ear in your eardrums, the AU chief.
Come on, baby. Do the magic hand thing.
I don't get that reference.
It's from season 1 of The Mandalorian. It's Greef Karga, a.k.a. Apollo Creed.
Ah, you got a stew going.
Yeah.
Ryan, there was a television show called Arrested Development, and in it, they had Carl Weathers show up to randomly say things like, oh, come on now, you got a stew going, and make people say random bones left over in their hotel meals so they can make a stew.
I'll take your word for it.
You got Ryan, have you not seen Arrested Development?
I have not.
Netflix, man.
Yeah, man. Don't watch the newer Netflix seasons unless you're just a completionist. But definitely season 1 and 2 of Arrested Development are maybe the best seasons of television ever made.
The first Netflix season's fine. I sort of got bogged down watching the second and never finished it. So
the second, I never even started it because a buddy of mine who I trust was like, dude, did you like the newest Indiana Jones movie? Good boy. That's not a good comparison.
I'm in between shows right now. I just finished Community, and I think I'm going to start Fargo.
I'm watching The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. It is delightful.
Before you get too into whatever you're going next, watch What We Do in the Shadows.
It's only hilarious. Hilarious.
It's great. It's Taika Waititi of Thor Ragnarok. Yeah, and it is. It's excellent. You'll enjoy it. It'll take you maybe, a week if you're watching, one or two episodes.
Because the episodes are like a half hour, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like 22 minutes.
Yeah. It's so funny, man. And the movie is good, too.
I still haven't watched the movie. It's I really good. Want to watch it.
Is it the movie before or after?
Movie was before, and they based the TV show.
It was like 2012, I think, is when they made the movie.
Jemaine Clement of The Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah.
He's made the movie and then wrote the show. Like, the show is his deal.
Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah.
Him and Waititi are good buds from down there in Kiwiland. Speaking of which, huge win for the All Blacks in the Bledisloe Cup. If you watched that on Saturday night, anybody else got the adrenaline high from the LSU game still going, stayed up to watch a little bit of All Blacks Australia soccer, Australia rugby, you and I get along because that was a good one. Yeah, the All Blacks are a great watch. If you haven't watched rugby, that's a good place to start. It's just figure out when they're playing and watch them on ESPN Plus. Worth the price of ESPN Plus. All right,
I've got a cousin that got really into that via the Amazon documentary.
Dude, that's a great way. So the Amazon documentary on the All Blacks called All or Nothing, the All Blacks. And then they have an Amazon history of rugby.
Mm.
You watch those two things, you're in. You're caught up. You can go ahead and watch it. You're now into rugby.
All right.
Auburn soccer. This is a soccer podcast after all. Got a 1-0 victory over the LSU Fighting Tigers today. That is two football wins over LSU in one weekend, you guys.
Bad time to be a Tiger.
It's a good time to be an Auburn Tiger. I mean, look,
that's right.
We're talking
LSU offense struggling again.
Yeah, I mean Auburn scored in the 93rd minute, Chief, at the death, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, huge win. Corey Locksley with the goal. Auburn now still undefeated, I believe. Is that correct?
No, they lost to
They lost to Arkansas.
The get back game.
They lost to Arkansas. So Auburn has one loss. They lost 2-1 to Arkansas on Friday at Arkansas. And then one today. They play the Tide. Play the Tide on Friday. So if you are in town, head on over to the soccer complex at 6 p.m. or watch on the SEC Network Plus. Auburn will play in Alabama in the Iron Bowl of Soccer. And then Monday, playing in Bryan College Station against Texas A&M. So, quick turnaround. That is four games in 11 days that Auburn's playing.
We'll just win them all.
Well, we already lost one of them, Ryan, but...
Oh, I didn't know that one was part of the 11 days.
Yeah, that was part of them. So, but Auburn has, being undefeated, having only one loss, has got to have the team riding pretty high. And the only loss they had was at number 6, Arkansas. Arkansas is a really strong team.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm... There's nothing, no reason for those ladies to hang their heads after that. And, let's beat Alabama. How about that? Let's beat Alabama and go down to A&M and beat those jokers, too, because, I really don't like them either.
Is that three more games?
Two. And then the SEC tournament.
That's right. Because mm-hmm. It was four last week, and now we've played two. Gotcha.
Yep.
Math.
Yep. So Auburn was number 15 prior to the loss in the SC rankings, USC rankings, not ranked in top drawer, which is ridiculous. Like, you're talking about a team that at the time had zero losses and was not ranked in the top drawer soccer rankings.
What do they know?
Yeah, it's whatever. And, like, the team has not gotten the respect it needs. Like, the teams that it's beaten... And like I said, only having one loss, and it was a road loss. I think it's crazy that they're not ranked higher, actually. So they're still 15th as of today, according to the notes, the game notes, and still not ranked from top drawer. So top drawer not respecting us, guys.
Cowards.
We should have someone from top drawer on to talk.
If you're listening to this podcast, you should figure out what Top Drawer Soccer's Twitter account is, and we should just hammer those dudes. Send the Orange and True Army after them.
Dozens of us.
There are dozens of us. See, Ryan, you understand an Arrested Development reference.
I don't know if y'all are going to pick up on that.
Look at that. All right, well, let's talk. Let's go take a quick commercial break, actually, because I want a long segment coming up. We're going to go Mandalorian talk because we have the AU chief here with us. And then we're going to go straight from that into talking about a dominant, Death Star versus Alderaan type game, Auburn versus LSU. Star Wars reference.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And we're back. Only 8 minutes and 35 seconds elapsed in this podcast. Took a break. Come back. We want you to have the most music for your money. That's what the radio station used to say. We're going to get the lead out.
Ryan, radio was this thing that you used to listen to back in the day before we had smartphones and podcasts. And
Chief, did you ever have...
Is that one of those buttons in my car for?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you have a... did you have a radio station that used to play like two or three Led Zeppelin songs in an hour? And they used to say, getting the lead out.
Yeah,
96X.
I'm pretty sure they're the classic rock. Well, I think 102.9 here, out of Columbus, here in Auburn, does that. They get the lead out, or they used to.
It's 102.9. I used to.
Ryan, could you name a radio station in the Auburn, Alabama area?
Sure, 94.3 Wings.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
listen to more radio than you think.
There's a there's a country station
106.7 the ESPN channel. Although not as much now that they dropped the boy Ferg and Painter, but
yeah.
Yeah. I used to listen to 95.3, which was Kiss and Country Legends, but that was out of the Grange, I think. They turned into R&B station last year though. So just full 180 pivot on the content there.
Yeah, my favorite radio station growing up was Q104 out of Gadsden, the original home of Rick and Bubba before they moved to Birmingham. And well, anyway, and it was great. And then one day they decided to go disco. That was their thing for like a whole year and a half.
Oh, man.
And it was because it was pop before that, pop and rock, which rock used to be pop music back in the day. It's not so much anymore. And then it was disco for a couple of years. And my stepmom absolutely hated that. So then we started listening to country, which is not my favorite. But
didn't know disco was big in Gadsden.
I don't know why. It was like 70s disco. Yeah, it was mostly just disco. It was not great. Although I did develop a taste for Casey and the Sunshine Band at that point. So
Of course.
But I digress. Mandalorian?
That's the name of this podcast, but I digress. Mandalorian, we want to talk a bit about this. Do we think that is episode 1, season 2, the best single hour of Star Wars content produced since 1977? Because it might be.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The opening of this season definitely did not disappoint. It was basically an Elmore Leonard novel set in the Star Wars universe, which was pretty cool, right down to having one of his characters, Raylan Givens, right there on set. So,
yeah.
He was just playing the same character, right? Like, there was no change.
I mean, he was a marshal.
Just putting on some cool armor and calling it good.
He's basically playing Timothy Oliphant, I believe, is what was happening there.
Yeah. Which anybody who watches The Good Place, Timothy Oliphant plays himself in The Good Place as well. And it is
does he?
Amazing. Like, the judge of all things has a huge crush on Timothy Oliphant. And so they have him show up to like sway her judgment. That's anyway, crazy. Spoiler alert for The Good Place. Worth the watch.
Yeah, I should watch that.
It's super, super smart. Once after season two kind of lags in the middle, but at the end of season two going on, it is super, super good. All right. So I think that The Mandalorian so far has been, like, in my opinion, exactly what new Star Wars stuff should be.
Sure.
Prestige television, hour-long or 45-minute-long episodes where a guy goes in, cool planet, does something cool, episode's over.
Yeah.
I think trying to...
You can tell it's still related to the Star Wars movies, but it's not
right.
Any at all related to the stories.
And the rumors about what's happening next or whatever, or the characters introduced, I'm actually bummed about, because I like the fact that we have no character overlap whatsoever from the first films or the sequel films. I like that we're kind of in this other place, doing this other thing on these other planets.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Those Jawas could be the same. You don't know.
Probably are the same.
You're not alone. There's a lot of pretty hardcore Star Wars fans that sort of feel the same way. And I'm in the same boat in that when Disney bought it, I did get excited about them continuing the trilogy, the Skywalker saga, whatever you want to call it. And because the principals were involved, but then once they sort of weren't really involved, then it became obvious that, well, they should have just gone and done their own thing. Set something in your own little corner of the universe. And the way The Mandalorian works, though, is it's set at a time that we're familiar with. Like, it's close enough to the end of the original three movies that we're familiar with that space in Star Wars. And I know a lot of people that are concerned, like you are, with the introduction of these characters from other mediums, like the cartoons. But I'm willing to give it a go, and I mean I'm kind of excited about it. There's one in particular I'm not that excited about, but it's not because I don't like the character. It's just that I'm not sure how it's going to look in live action.
Are you really bringing Jar Jar back?
Yeah, man. It's going to be an actual person, though, this time.
Darth Jar Jar?
Yeah. Well, isn't the Mandalorian Jar Jar?
Underneath? Oh, okay. I didn't catch that.
Oh, man. That would be hysterical, dude. That would be... I would literally stand up in my living room and applaud if all of a sudden the last episode takes his helmet off and his Jar Jar rings. Right.
Yeah,
Darth Jar Jar, I don't know if you know this, there's an internet rumor that the reason why the prequels are so bad is because initially Jar Jar Binks is supposed to be this idiot savant, and at the very end it's going to be revealed that Jar Jar Binks was actually the Sith Lord that was controlling everything, including the Emperor. He was the Emperor's master, but... after the first episode one came out and the backlash was so great, Lucas then wrote him into being this moron character and wrote him off the show. But his part was supposed to continue to grow, and he was supposed to be he's supposed to look like an idiot, but in the behind the scenes he is really evil.
I mean, he's the one that gives the Chancellor Palpatine the emergency powers. He votes to give him emergency powers. I remember being in the theater for that and being like, God, Jar Jar really does suck.
Jar Jar blows it again. All right, well, that was good.
Is he the Bo Pelini of the Star Wars universe?
Gosh, Ryan, that's great. It's a great segue. Bo Pelini is Jar Jar, is the Jar Jar Binks of the SEC. Actually, no, because Bo Pelini had a lot of success at LSU, right? At one point, he was really good.
Jar Jar helped save a planet.
Yeah, that's true.
Naboo did some things, and then yeah,
I'm not as mothers. Into my Star Wars as some, but
yeah, you're not all the way up on your Jar Jar lore.
I'm not as out on my Jar Jar lore. I just know a couple of hilarious theories, but the So the LSU defense guys lost Dave Aranda to Baylor, who has done nothing but not great at Baylor so far, which could be the fact that they haven't practiced. The team hasn't practiced for a full week in a row in like a month because of COVID. But LSU looks worse. Him leaving looks way worse at LSU than him getting to Baylor. Him leaving at LSU looks like he left and took all the good ideas and thoughts and play. The touchdown that Bo Nix threw to, oh gosh, what's his name? I can see
Stove.
Him. No, not Stove.
Capers.
Yes, Capers. The touchdown that Bo Pelini threw to Capers.
That's a good one.
Is the
Bo Nix threw.
Yeah,
you said Bo Pelini.
Sorry, the touchdown that Bo Nix threw to Capers is the most wide-open touchdown pass that I've ever seen an Auburn Tiger complete in my life. Like, it was a disrespectful amount of space between him and the defenders. And then you watch on replay, it wasn't a pick play. Seth Williams ran inside, but he didn't cross. He just ran inside. And It just completely befuddled the LSU defenders. They had three guys guarding Seth Williams on that play, effectively, and nobody on Capers. There were two touchdowns Saturday that I literally thought I could have scored that touchdown. That was one, because I, with nobody defending me, I can catch a pass. And the Tank Bigsby run where the offensive line cleared a mile in either direction, and he waltzed through.
Just strolled in. That was amazing.
I'm not the offensive line guru on the website, but I haven't seen the Auburn offensive line do something like that in a long time.
Yeah.
Was that the one where they were literally bending that defensive tackle backwards?
Yes.
I want to say it was, Brahms and Manning were just laying into this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This Auburn offensive line is, against all odds, turning into a decent unit. I mean, they're still going to struggle on pass block, but they're really making some holes for the running game, and pairing that with the running back talent Auburn's got, you might have something cooking.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Definitely seems that way. And it was, I could not have picked a better game to actually go to.
Rub it in there, Chief.
It was amazing. We had great seats. We were up in the upper deck, but we were like nine rows up, so we weren't really high. We were high enough that we weren't on the front rail, which yesterday or that day would have been fine because there wasn't really anybody behind us. So we stood up the whole time, but we were on a rail above one of the entries down into the concourse, and I had as much fun at that game as I've had in a long time. And it would have been that way even if we hadn't blown them out. So, but just being able to see everything from that angle, it was almost like watching it on TV live. So that was cool. And Jordan Hare is still there, everyone. just so you know.
So what is the in-game experience like?
It was interesting. It was, we kept joking like it was our routine was just like when we go to a basketball game. We pretty much left to go at the same time as we would to a basketball game. We tailgated in the parking deck on the back of my Land Cruiser like we would for a basketball game, and going there was weird. Like, I'll say this, the kids were not social distancing at all. And when you were trying to get to your gate, they would just like walk in huge groups right up on you, which was funny.
Roving gangs of college kids.
Yeah. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't mad about it or anything. That was interesting. Just having all that space there, man. Like, I thought about it before, but actually being there, it was for sure true. If I could go to a game like that every time where I had that much space to just kind of spread out, it would be awesome. Despite how not as loud the stadium was. And it was really funny because we never really got a chance to know if it would ever even come close to being as loud because we were blowing them out so bad. Everybody's just kind of subdued. Like, we'd score and it'd be like, oh, we scored again.
Was the loudest point just the collective groan when Seth fumbled that ball into the end zone?
Yeah. Well, not everyone live. I don't think everyone really noticed in the stadium that it was a fumble. I thought it had gone out of bounds before it landed in the end zone. Before I saw a replay.
On replay, it looked pretty obvious what exactly had happened.
But no, because it was like, yeah, that may have been when it got the loudest because everybody thought we'd scored.
I think the referees, like they have all season, got that one right. I think they're doing an unbelievable job this year. They just keep nailing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
They are freaking unbelievable. the hit count is unreal. Batting 1,000 over here. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question about, so you sat next to your seatmate.
Yeah.
Ryan, and, Ryan, can you make your chair louder? Is that possible?
Sorry about that.
It was a little weird because we had four seats and there were only two of us and we had only bought the two tickets. So we're not really sure why there were the four seats and we seemed to be the only people in that situation. Like if there were two people, they were usually only had the two seats.
Yeah.
And then there was a row behind us and then someone else would be seated kind of off to your, left and right side on an aisle.
But like 8-9 feet away from you.
Yeah. 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 I never felt uncomfortable about how close I was to people. You didn't have to wear your mask in the seats, because you were just next to your seatmate. And, especially with the wind whipping through there, the wind was a little rough. It was only like 5 to 10 miles an hour, but it was constant. I felt relaxed. I felt like I'd bought upper deck seats to, New Mexico State or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep it in the same state, probably the same talent level. We'll say like ULM or something like that.
Sure.
At least, right?
Was this Bo Nix's best game?
100%. Like the statistics make it look like it was his most efficient game by some metric. And then like, you know, from a feeling standpoint, I don't think I've watched a game yet where he felt more in control, comfortable, not hair on fire as this game. Most of the time he plays like his hair is on fire and he has to get rid of this ball.
Like Gus Malzahn needs to break me a piece off of that $4.5 million he's making this year. Just since it was only me that suggested
just run me, Marshall.
We should play this way.
I really think that you nailed it, and I don't know if any other podcast has done this. So we're the only podcast that has the courage and the foresight to go out on that limb and say that Bo Nix is really just Nick Marshall 2.0.
Yeah. honestly, we talked about it.
A little more fiery.
He's not
Shark Eyes is.
Yeah, I don't want to call Nick soulless. That's not the word, but
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold, yeah.
Nick Marshall is all you know about Nick Marshall is after the prayer in Jern Hare, him running down the field holding up two fingers to signal to go for two. Yeah. Like at no point celebrating, not even like pumping a fist. Just all right, next play is we're going for two in here. Let's play. Like it didn't even register that was an incredible thing that happened or a miracle. It was just okay, that's 6 points and now the next thing to do is to go for two to go up by more. That's the Nick Marshall memory that I always have. Whereas the Bo Nix memory is the ball is snapped and now this ball is now a bomb and I have to figure out where this bomb is going to not kill the most women and children. Where should it go?
The ball is lava.
And also my offensive linemen are double agents. I think it's also what he thinks. Are they on my team? Who knows? Better stay away. I think Spencer Hall had an incredible analogy where he said that Bo Nix was comfortable and secure and was a minivan. That the Auburn family was riding a minivan all the way to victory on Saturday. And that's – he looked – as comfortable as he ever has ever looked.
Yeah.
I legitimately I'd never felt stressed out by his quarterback play on Saturday.
Well, I put in my prediction for the site that I felt like Bo Nix would play pretty good because he's better at home. So I think that counts as a
pretty good. Definitely was that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he just about had that fourth touchdown. Stuff doesn't fumble it, but yeah, 18 for 34, 300 yards, 11 carries, 81 yards, and a touchdown.
I mean, that's a Cam Newton stat line. That's not even a
I think rating wise, it was technically the second best game behind the Mississippi State game last year. Hmm. But I think significantly more talent on the field, regardless of the defensive scheme for LSU.
Yes, I agree with that. It was just it was really shocking how badly we beat them.
Yeah. Well, and I think at least I thought if we were going to do this to LSU, it was going to be because Tank Bigsby had a Kenny Irons game.
Right.
He's just going to run right through him. And they did a decent job. I mean, 15 carries, 71 yards. And a lot of that was just because they wrapped him up, unlike anybody else so far.
Right.
I don't know if he broke any tackles at all in this game.
Not really. I remember hitting my brother midway through the third. And I was like, you can tell that LSU spent 6 days in practice going, number four is not going to beat us.
Yeah.
We are going to stop that dude. He is the key to Auburn's offense, and we are going to keep him bottled up. And they did, but they didn't account for literally 10 other people on the field. Like, everybody else went off besides
Tank. Yeah, you would have thought Eli Stove was just some secret weapon that they had never seen on tape before.
He's been here for 100 years. He can tell you if Nick Marshall and Bo are the same, because I bet he caught passes from Nick Marshall.
Yeah, Stove had a great game. Was there anybody that had a bad game?
Kalen Newton had zero catches, I feel like. So I'm still waiting
on him. He blocked pretty well.
I'm still waiting on his first touchdown catch.
I'm not sure Grant Loy had a great game.
No.
Yeah, Grant Loy was pretty rough.
Mark Anthony Richards didn't have, but
he had a game.
We saw him.
Proof of life. Proof of life was found on Saturday. We know he is alive. I didn't have to ask for a Kim holding a copy of today's paper in the athletic facility. And we also maybe know why he hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
He was fine. I mean, I think LSU kind of realized Loy wasn't going to do anything. So
he could
go all in on Richards. He came in and I think his first snap was returning a punt, mm-hmm. which either he didn't return it or just fair caught it or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we all kind of lost our minds when he first got on the field.
He got his name in the paper. In the box score. So what's one key play that stood out to you?
I don't know if it's a key play, but finally connecting on a long shot.
Yeah.
91 yards shorts. I mean, it was satisfying at least.
Yeah, that was
– Hopefully that breaks the seal. We can do it some more.
I think that put me over the top for the game for sure. It was
that was Chiefs Vince McMahon falling back in his chair.
Yes, exactly.
Well, really, I mean, it was the defense that controlled this game for most of the first half. I mean, it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter.
The first quarter was not a good sport. I texted the group. I was like, "This is not good sports."
Bad. We wanted to say it was a classic Auburn LSU game, but no, it was just bad football.
I went through the entire range of the Vince McMahon in the chair gif in the third quarter of the game when we actually scored, and then we scored again, and then I think we scored again in the third quarter.
I think it was Ferg saying on the Observer podcast from Sunday that Auburn, of 8 times that they touched the ball, so like possessions or defensive returns, whatever, 8 times that Auburn touched the ball, they scored on 7 of them.
Wow.
From the end of the first half through the third quarter. So, I mean, when that happens, you kind of blow teams out.
Yeah. Everything went our way.
We got a pass rush. We shut down their number one receiver. They didn't do anything on the ground. What was it, like two and a half yards per rush after you take sacks out?
They weren't getting anything on the ground. It was,
and they could have been better had Miles Brennan been healthy. I mean, that is part of it, but I don't think he's 37 points better.
Nope, I don't believe that's how that works. They pulled their first QB what?
Middle of the third quarter?
Yeah, seems right. That seems right. That poor guy. And the next guy wasn't any better. So,
most of his numbers against a third team defense.
Without Joe Burrow, LSU reverted back to norm under Miles, where it's like, how do you not have a quarterback at that school? Like, how do you not have a guy at that school? It's kind of like Texas, too, where it's like, you should probably just have a five-star guy that's the best in his state that has been
to their credit, Miles Brennan has been really, really good this year. Just couldn't go in this game.
But how do you not have another guy?
Well, they're freshmen. So,
like, I feel like Alabama could have three guys get hurt and probably have another guy show up and play really well. Now, we couldn't. We found that out Saturday, that the most disconcerting part of that was once we went to the twos, things were not pretty.
Either
side of the ball. I think they were just saving Kurt Sandberg for later in the year, to be honest.
Golly.
Ryan's never going to give that one up.
Got to bring in the lefty sometimes, but.
Gosh.
What about you, Crow? Anything specific stand out?
Well, the throw of Schwartz up 38 gave me like flashbacks of old Gus. That, like, going for the throats, that proving that we're not settling for a lead.
After blowing three leads in a row to LSU, hopefully that was ingrained at this point.
I think that was nice, but I also the play that really stuck out was the Bo Nix keeping it and running it around the left end for a touchdown. And I think that the CBS announcers did a good job, shocker, of pointing out that Tank Bigsby wanted the ball, like, really bad. To the point where he fell down because he was trying to take the ball because he thought he could score, but the read was correct, and Bo Nix made the right read.
Right.
On that play, and then still and fought his way into the end zone. And why it stuck out to me was there are dudes who would have handed that ball off just because it's the right choice because it's Tank Bigsby. Like, it's never going to be wrong to give the ball to that dude 2 yards from the end zone. But the correct read is for him to keep it and go around left end, and he did it. And he scored, and he scored in a way that just showed a lot of fight. And I think that those kinds of plays will win the offensive line over to him more, will win guys like Seth Williams and other receivers over to him more, because Bo Nix showing that he's got a little bit of dog in him is the type of thing that coalesces a locker room. I think that was a huge play for the morale of the team.
There was a couple times in this game where maybe last year, earlier this year, Bo would have just, run into trouble or not been able to avoid a bad play. And then the touchdown, like you're talking about, he was able to walk right in. There was another play, and I'm drawing a blank on when, where, LSU's had been the best pass rushing team in the SEC so far, got pretty good pressure on him, and instead of you know, tucking his head and running into trouble, found his way out of the pocket and picked up 10, 15 yards. He did that a couple times in this game. And if that's something that can be more consistent, like I said, that's going to go a long way towards winning the fans over, when his teammates over. It's the last 2 weeks have been against two of the worst defenses in the SEC, but it feels like this might be a corner being turned.
Yeah. You gotta start building that momentum somewhere. Yeah. and you gotta build your confidence somewhere, and preferably you do it against the teams that you need to beat because you're better than them, and I think we're definitely better than LSU.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's do midpoint awards.
Okay.
There's not much left to talk about. We beat the brakes off LSU.
I beat the brakes off of them. I enjoy this. I'm glad we've got 2 weeks to just enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my favorite Auburn game I've ever been to in person was 2014 LSU. And we somehow beat that in terms of offensive output, in terms of points scored. Not in terms of yards, I don't think, but in terms of points scored. This game beat 14 LSU, which is tough. It's incredible.
I was this is the first time I've seen this sort of beatdown of another SEC opponent from beginning to end, in which I remember it all. The last time, 2014 LSU, I didn't make it into the game till sometime in the second quarter. So,
did you struggle with the 16 Arkansas game?
16 Arkansas. Where was I?
That was the like 500 rushing yards game.
That game was amazing.
Oh yeah, I was there. Okay, no, I remember that. That was awesome.
Yeah. So, who's your midpoint MVP? So we've already gone through half the season, guys.
Yeah. For better or for worse, that, we're 6 games in.
Yeah, we're 6 games in.
But for better or worse, 5 weeks, good time to do it.
It's not the midway through the season, and we're going to make the playoff, right?
It's on the board.
Yeah, I guess so. Then we got 7 more games left.
We need LSU to beat Alabama this weekend, which and then we got to beat Alabama, and then we're in the playoff. I believe is how that works.
Okay. All right.
What if we stub our toe against Tennessee?
Oh boy.
Yeah. We better destroy Tennessee.
Who's your midpoint MVP on offense, Chief?
Tank.
Yeah. I think that's 100%. I think that's a consensus. That's probably a consensus on the show.
Yeah. I mean, Seth Williams has been good a lot of points this year, but it was when you realized that Tank was as advertised that you could run the offense through him that kind of fixed all the problems.
This is, as a basketball fan, there is a distinct difference between best player and most valuable player, and I think that Seth Williams is the best player on the team, personally. Mm-hmm. Best in terms of this is a professional football player playing for us right now.
Most talented,
yeah,
for sure.
But I think Tank's the most valuable player by leaps and bounds. Because you can't really run your offense through with your best receiver, because that's pretty easy to take away. Defense, Ryan.
Zakobe McLean, I think he's got to be the best answer. He's, KJ Britt went out the Georgia game with his injuries, and McLean has kind of came in. He's already part of the starting rotation with the linebackers, but now that there's no depth there, he's played pretty much every snap, every game, and leads the team in tackles. He's everywhere. He's rushing the passer, stuffing the run. He's been outstanding this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd like to give a honorable mention to Derek Hall, who had a great game against LSU this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming on strong, and I like to see that. But yet, McLean seems to be the guy that's really stepped up on defense. I think I agree with Ryan.
I'm going to go, with McLean as well. But I'm going to say that Christian Tutt, a.k.a. the Bo Nix of the defense, in terms of some games you're like, well, this guy, I don't know what this guy's doing. And the other games you're like, well, he's incredible. He had a huge game Saturday with the scoop and score. I like that he's not returning punts anymore.
Mm.
But
you and me both.
But I really think he acquitted himself well on Saturday. And touchdowns cover up a multitude of sins on defense, if you ask me.
It's true.
Sure do.
All right. And midpoint, most improved player. Ryan, who do you think is the most improved player?
On offense, I think it's got to be Alec Jackson. We gave him a lot of grief earlier in the year about, you know, not looking like a SEC left tackle. And pass rush was just kind of eating Bo up. And seemed like the last couple weeks, specifically in this LSU game, like we said, they've been the best pass rush in the SEC up to this point. And Bo Nix had no sacks. It's by far his best game. He's come a long ways from, you know, in the Georgia game, we were all kind of thinking, why is this guy on the field?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the best lineman out there right now, but I'm getting more and more comfortable with him every week.
Yeah, Ryan, I think you're spot on. A guy that just didn't look like he even maybe belonged on the field the first little while, and has grown into his role.
Another Ronnie Garner success story.
Yeah. Who, by the way, won the 247 Sports Award of Position Coach of the Week or something like that. I saw earlier today.
Oh, that and 50 cents to buy him a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Exactly.
50 cents not buying him coffee.
I know. But that's the saying, Ryan.
Oh, I thought you meant the person.
So, oh, Lord. I think I got Xavion Capers as my most improved offensive player. He played really well Saturday.
Yeah.
Early parts of the year, he did things that I didn't understand. But
fair enough.
But, yeah, the last couple of weeks, he's played pretty darn good football, I think.
Yeah. Who wins coolest name out of these guys?
It's gotta be Tank.
Xavion Capers is pretty sweet.
Xavion Capers, Zakobi McLean.
Yeah,
and then Alec, who I'm sure was named after Sir Alec Guinness.
Oh, I thought maybe Alec Trebek.
he's Alex.
Oh, right. I think he's named after Alec, a.k.a. 006 from the movie and video game GoldenEye.
Yeah. Trevelyan.
Yeah, Alec Trevelyan. Ryan, GoldenEye was a video game.
I played GoldenEye. Come on.
Who's your defensive most improved player?
I think it's going to be Nehemiah Pritchett. We were all real excited with Jalen Simpson after the Kentucky game, and he got hurt. Secondary struggled a lot with him out. Pritchett kind of being a guy that was getting picked on. But you had the interception in this game, which, I mean, that was just an awful pass straight to Pritchett. Auburn's really kind of shut down two really good passing offenses the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that is Pritchett getting more comfortable, which I don't know. I think you kind of alluded to this when we were all very mad about the season earlier, about this is a weird year, guys, that, you know, they didn't get spring practice. They got a weird messed up fall practice. Some guys may not be ready early that can come on really strong. And that's what we're seeing right now with Jackson and Pritchett, I think.
Every team but two, I would say, looks like that right now. The start of the season. Every team that started the season when Auburn did, except for two, looks like this. Like
Mississippi State looks way worse.
Well, yeah. But every team looks like, wow, did they not practice? I think we're seeing the importance not only of spring practice, but also of a consistent fall camp and, like, knowing – what the plan is, like, knowing, all right, we got this team this week, we got this team next week, because, like,
turns out winging it does not work well with football.
No, unless you are Alabama or Clemson and you've got 750 staff members who've been watching tape on every team just in case your schedule shifts and now you play that team first game of the season. Like, Auburn wasn't prepping an SEC schedule to start the year week one. No, it was prepping Alcorn State.
Yeah.
Was the thought. And then all of a sudden, it's got a whole new schedule with a whole new, unless you've got 750 analysts out there prepping all these things, you're going to look like this.
Or unless you're Lane Kiffin, where you only prepared for Alabama.
One game season, baby.
Yeah.
And you showed up to talk trash and chew bubble gum, and you ran out of bubble gum. He's just talking trash, man. Like, he literally just sits, wakes up, talks trash all day, coaches a game. Doesn't matter what happens because it's year zero for him. He's just going to when Saban retires, it will be because Lane Kiffin drove him out of the conference. I hope. And then Kiffin goes and takes the Jets job. Like, just, I don't even care anymore. Yeah. I got my job. My job is done.
He did wish his former employer a happy birthday this last week, or over the weekend. I'm not sure if you saw that.
No. Chief, what's your favorite play of the season so far?
Was it the spike against Arkansas?
Man, mine might be.
No, I'm going to say it was when Seth Big Boyed that guy against against Kentucky and flexed on him.
Yeah.
He mossed him. That was so great.
I'm probably going to give Bo Nix the Cam belt. I haven't written it yet because I'm still sitting here thinking, like, well, maybe not. Like, that play is still the best single play, disrespectful play of the season.
So disrespectful. It's so good.
Like, nothing is even coming close to that.
Shouts out to Sean Shivers. First play of the LSU game this week, just leveling another LSU defender.
Oh, yeah.
I love
CBS all the racing. Oh, yeah, remember this play from the Iron Bowl?
I love Sean Shivers because he
doesn't know how small he is.
Yeah, he is a...
He has no idea.
No one has ever told him, apparently, that he is not 6'3", 250 pounds.
No, I think it's the other way around. I think everyone has told him that.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't care.
He's like, oh, okay, well, all right.
Get my way. Show you where to shove your 6'3", 200 pounds.
He's becoming one of my favorite players, and I think that Auburn's using him in really cool ways as a change of pace from Tank.
Yeah. And he started the game again this week. And I guess he's going to be the official starter going forward. And then Tank will just come in and handle most of the
– carry the water.
Do most of the heavy lifting. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, excited.
Excited for
an off week. We'll be back next week to probably talk basketball.
Yeah, get to marinating this. Yeah,
hopefully we'll get a schedule here soon.
Yeah, we're 20, as we record this, 23 days from a supposed basketball season, purported basketball season. Alleged
basketball season.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get to see a few games. I'm interested to see what the schedule's going to be like. Are we going to play these four games in November and then not play again until January? Like, what's going to go on with that? I mean, I'm really excited about that. We got that to hopefully that'll come out this week while we don't have any football going on. And we can soak up a win, soak that up too. We've got another episode of The Mandalorian. We'll have two episodes of The Mandalorian before Auburn plays football again. How about that?
Next time Auburn plays football, it'll be Masters weekend.
Oh, that's right. It's big. It's big. Big around these parts. Not in this house, but in that one there, and Josh Dubs.
Not in this house. Well,
we'll have to pull a game day and bring in Josh Dubs to talk some golf with us.
It's one of my only. It's one of the only golf tournaments that I will watch a little bit of.
I'll pay attention to it. I'm not anti golf.
I'm really curious to see what Augusta looks like in November as opposed to April.
Sure, it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kind of stories already about how they're trying to get the azaleas to bloom right now. Like, they've been growing them in off-site location in greenhouses to bloom at just the right time.
It's wild.
It's going to be a treat, I think.
That is hilarious that they would go through that trouble. But of course they would.
Yeah, it's gotta look good.
The economy didn't probably affect them.
Oh no.
Hey, they gave people jobs.
Sure. One, two, three. All right, guys. Well, we will see y'all next week.
Oh, nose.